This is The Takeaway, and I'm Duarte Geraldino with you for the next week. And at the end of the hour, we'll continue our series, Taking Pains with Women's Health, and answer your questions about the state of maternal and reproductive health care here in the U.S. But first, we want to take a few minutes to look at the flurry of activity when it comes to abortion. Over the past month, state legislatures have passed or are considering restrictive bans against abortion in places like Mississippi, Ohio, Iowa, and Kentucky. They're teeing up a major legal battle in the courts. It's all part of a wave of optimism amongst anti-abortion activists and conservative legislators who are emboldened by President Trump's promise to appoint conservative judges. Cynthia Suhu is co-director of the Human Rights and Gender Justice Clinic at CUNY Law School. She also writes about these issues for the Reproductive Rights Prof blog. Cynthia, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Can you first give us a rundown of the most notable abortion legislation from around the country and where they stand?
I think the first thing to understand is that in some ways this is something that's not new. For the last probably 10 years, we've seen a flurry of anti-choice legislation each state legislative session. I think what's interesting in 2017 was, according to the Guttmacher Institute, about 63 new restrictions on abortion were passed. And this is actually the most significant number of anti-abortion restrictions that have been passed since 2013. The other thing that I think is notable is that the type of bills that were passed. Because a lot of the bills that we saw last session and we're seeing currently in this legislative session are really targeted to take aim at the current Supreme Court precedent and to try to roll back the current standard that was established in Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey.
So put differently, they're not just trying to make change on the local level. So people in New York, San Francisco, Seattle mm-hmm. need to watch out for what's happening in places like Mississippi, Ohio, and Iowa, because that will have a ripple effect around the country.
That's right, because what they're trying to do is they're really trying to pass laws that are designed to go to the Supreme Court to challenge the current abortion standards.
So if we could talk about some of those specific states. In Mississippi, what is going on?
Yeah, what's going on in Mississippi? Well, I mean, the thing to keep in mind is that since 1992, the Supreme Court has said that that women have a right to choose to terminate their pregnancies up till fetal viability. And that means that the states cannot ban abortions prior to viability. And that's commonly accepted to be about 24 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so what Mississippi did last week, is it passed a bill that would have prohibited abortion at 15 weeks.
15 weeks.
Yeah. And so once it was passed, it was immediately challenged. So a court stepped in, and right now there's a temporary restraining order that prevents it to go into effect. But the other thing that we've seen, that there are other states that have laws that are even more brazen. So right now, in Iowa, there's a law that would prevent abortion after 6 weeks. And Ohio went even further. They right now have a bill that's pending that would prohibit all abortions, period, without any exceptions. And it would also define an unborn person as a person for purposes of criminal homicide statutes.
Prosecuted for homicide if she chooses to exercise her right to end her pregnancy.
Yeah. So this is clearly set up to try to challenge the existing abortion statutes because it's clearly unconstitutional. And the amazing thing about the Ohio statute was that Ohio passed a six-week ban last year, and their governor, Governor Kasich, who is an anti-choice politician, actually vetoed that law because he said it was unconstitutional. So I don't think that there's a chance that the bill is going to move forward, but it's clear that anti-choice legislators are trying to either they're trying to make a statement to appeal to their constituencies, or they're trying to just get as many bills in the pike that they can so that they can challenge the existing Supreme Court's precedent.
So we see what's going on the state level all around the country, obviously with the goal of taking these cases to the Supreme Court. Any idea when they might actually make it to the Supreme Court?
Well, I mean, it takes several years, right, for a case to actually get all the way to Supreme Court. Right now, a lot of these laws, there's a temporary restraining order, which just means that the law cannot go into effect until there's actually a case, right? Then there actually has to be a case. Then it'll go to the appellate court, and then it may or may not go to the Supreme Court. And so the thing to keep in mind also is that the Ohio law may get vetoed. I don't know what's going to happen with the Iowa law. And the other thing is the Supreme Court doesn't necessarily have to take these cases, right? So the Supreme Court actually, in 2016, lower courts actually struck down six-week bans and 12-week bans, and the Supreme Court declined to review the cases. So, you know, going back 2 years, the Supreme Court said, you know, the lower courts were right, and 6-week bans and 12-week bans are unconstitutional, and we don't even need to hear the case.
So if you're a woman in this state, say Mississippi, for example, and you want to have an abortion before, or rather after 15 weeks, and somehow you manage to make this happen, could you be tried or any way or accused of anything?
Well, you mean if the law went into effect?
Correct.
So I haven't read the specific provisions about, whether there are criminal penalties. Usually, sometimes there are penalties for doctors, and sometimes there are penalties for women. I think, what would most likely happen would be if Mississippi banned abortion at 15 weeks, there just wouldn't be any providers, right? The providers would just stop providing abortions at 15 weeks because there's too much risk for them to provide it. And the woman would either have to think about traveling, and I think you have to look at, where Mississippi is in the country and the states that it's surrounded by, because the states that it's surrounded by are most likely to have pretty restrictive abortion provisions as well. Mississippi only has one abortion provider. The states that surround it, I'm sure, don't have many abortion providers. But I think the other thing to think about is that abortion is a time-limited procedure, and women in Mississippi already face a lot of barriers to access abortion. They may not know, may take a while for a woman to know that she's pregnant. She may not have health care coverage. So it's going to take a while to raise the money to have the services. She's going to have to take time off work. She might have to get childcare. And then if she has to travel out of state, then she's going to have to make the travel arrangements. It's additional time off from work. Many states have requirements that you have to undergo counseling and wait a day before having an abortion, right? So that becomes a multi-day procedure. The costs get more greater and greater, and it just gets more difficult for people to access abortion.
Thank you so much for talking to us about an issue that's not just affecting individual states, but could potentially have a national impact. Cynthia Suhu, law professor at the CUNY University of New York Law School and co-director of the Human Rights and Gender Justice Clinic at CUNY Law School. Thank you.
Thanks.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.